It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show is all about you. We seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain incredible business advice and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. Before we jump into tonight's incredible guests, a special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Trapper, the show's content creator, Mira Bauman, and Srili Saflis, who handles the production that's involved in this show. Also, special thank you to the incredible team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who play a great support role for the show. Also, a special thank you to last week's guest, Ron Carr. We got great feedback. He wrote the book, Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way, The 7 Traits of Great Sellers. In case you missed that show, it's up on the iTunes channel, as well as all previous episodes. The easiest way to get there is actually to go to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com, and there actually you see a picture and a short description of each guest. And by clicking on it, you're taken immediately to the iTunes store with all the past episodes, and they're all available for free. Also, you can connect with me on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook. Twitter actually has a particular advantage. We do tweet out every week who our upcoming guests are going to be, and my handle is YSaftless, Y-S-A-F-T-L-A-S. Let's get to tonight's guests. Well, we have in studio Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors, and Annette Lucas, Executive Vice President at L&R Distributors. Why are they here? What incredible advice are they going to give? Let me just give you some background. L&R Distributors is the largest non-food distributor in the United States. L&R employs over 1,100 people at 5 distribution centers and manages over 3,700 items. Its distribution network reaches over 13,000 retail locations nationwide, as well as e-commerce and wholesale customers. L&R recently rolled out a communications effort to build team focus and culture, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. This show is going to be a look back at the recent and ongoing campaign, which has to do with building a corporate culture. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you're guaranteed to walk away with real takeaways on the importance of building a corporate culture and how to communicate your vision with your team members. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Mark Bodner and Annette Lucas. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for saying that. It's our treat and our honor, and certainly for the many thousands tuned in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. First of all, let's talk about the company just for a minute or two. How long has L&R been in existence? What do you do? Even though I gave that brief intro, just a brief intro, just so that the listeners understand the scope of L&R Distributors.
Well, sure. Well, firstly, Yitzhak, if we were able to solve our customers' needs with 3,700 items, I would be really happy.
Okay.
It's more like 37,000 items.
Oh, I said 3,700.
So you did, but that's
I
fine.
I apologize.
No need to apologize.
Nervous about radio, but 37,000. Well, that's...
It's now one of my new goals to get it down to 3,700 and keep my revenues where they are today.
Well, so, it makes our guests so much more valuable for tonight's show. Thank you.
Well, L&R, we're a non-food distributor, as you described it really well in your intro, servicing supermarket, drugstores, military accounts. E-commerce is one of the new capabilities that we've in the last 2 years or so. But L&R's histories of mergers and acquisition, L&R legacy goes back to 1955. But through the history of the early 1900s, even as what used to be known as rack jobbers out on the Lower East Side, and okay, push carts, you've heard that.
Right.
So it's really the history of mergers and acquisitions in roll forward to 2007, mm-hmm, where two pretty fierce competitors came together to figure out how can we work together instead of apart. And, you know, we were hoping for 2 plus 2 to equal 5. And fortunately for us, 2 plus 2 has equaled 5 plus.
Wow.
So it's been a
great
ride.
Now let's go to what we're going to have as the concept for tonight's show. And again, if you're a small business, and I know this came up with when we interviewed Jeffrey Hazlett 2 weeks ago, and of course that's available on the iTunes store. You can easily access it by going to wabcbizradio.com. The ideas and the concepts, even though this is about a company that has 37,000 SKUs and has 1,100 employees, if you're a small shop and you have 5 employees, the concepts that we're going to be discussing tonight apply to you as well, because it's just here we're dealing on a much larger scale. But for a small to medium-sized businesses, these concepts will apply to you as well. What is, I'm going to ask it now in a very simple way, and then I'm going to go into the details. What is the L&R way? Explain that. We rolled out this concept called the L&R way, which is a way of communicating and empowering and giving over a vision to the entire staff. What is that? What is the L&R way?
Well, the L&R way is a common culture. So that's pretty simple, but it's more so than a culture. It's a way.
Okay.
So one of the key features to the L&R way is creating a common language, commonality in language. So internally in our company, when people say things in the language that they use, if they use language that's in line with the L&R way, then we're communicating. The word, a very, very good friend of mine once said to me, define the word communication as the response you get.
Interesting.
So communication doesn't really happen unless you get a response. It needs to be two-way.
Right.
The L&R way has language built into it, and we'll probably talk a lot about that language built into it so that we can communicate, which means, statements happen, responses. And, Annette sitting here to my left, has come up with this concept, which just happened as we were developing the L&R way, which was, what did you hear me say? So, I always go back to that, that famous sign that we see, slow children ahead.
Right.
And, it always depends what you put the comma.
Right.
Slow,
right,
comma,
children
or
ahead.
Slow children, comma. And you can say slow children ahead, and what did you hear me say? Because someone may have heard you.
Great point.
So when you have a vocabulary that's common in a company, so you really hit it on the nose that whether you have 5 employees, 10 employees, 100, or 1,000, the sooner you can get a commonality in language, the better it will be and the easier it will be to operate. We operated very successfully without having this common language.
Which is a great point. It wasn't like this was solving a major problem. It's rather leaping forward and improving communication in order to really grow a lot faster, efficiency.
And
is that
for
correct?
Me, yeah. Yes, 100%. For me, it was a way of dealing in the business to be able to have that vocabulary, to understand what I'm asking is really just what I'm asking, not taken out of context. I bring it home to my family every day now, and it's just made us stronger.
Fascinating. Now, the tagline for this campaign has been useful. Ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. Now, before I give it over to you to explain, we understand every business is about meeting a need, filling a void that ultimately a customer, whether it's B2B, B2C, you're fulfilling something, a need or a want that's out there. This common culture is getting the entire staff to buy in with the vision from the C-level executives. But ultimately, it's all about serving the customer. That's why I happen to love this tagline, which, if I'm not mistaken, Mark had come up with. Can you, furthering to my question over here, can you explain that useful and that entire concept behind that tagline?
So let me just go back for a second. So we came up with the tagline, Ultimate Shopping Experience. We work very closely on this with our business consultant and our coaches, who've you may have heard on the air before, Lee Brower,
we hope to get him on one day.
I'm pushing for it.
Thank you.
So the creation of the L&R way, just to go back for a second, was really first started with myself, Annette, and the president of our company, Riley.
How long ago?
It was August of 2014.
Beautiful. So this is a 2 year, well, a year and a half process.
This has been a
18 month process.
Beautiful. And you know,
which is also important. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want the listeners to understand that a lot of times they'll hear about something and it's like, okay, someone woke up one morning and they executed and it was just a matter of 2-3 days, the whole thing came together. Here there's a concept that's being developed that has been in the incubation stage and being nurtured along and developed until it was rolled out was 18 months from when it first, I guess, entered Mark's brain.
And to be fair with Mark, he was able to see this vision. Mm-hmm. Where I rolled into the business. My husband had passed, not sure of where it stood, and, mm-hmm. and he was able to do the vocabulary words so that we could work together. And he just began to see how this was rolling out for us, how it worked.
Wow. So that brings us back to Mark, and I'm sorry when I interrupted you about the 18 months that it sat in incubation, and then now we come to useful, the ultimate shopping experience.
Yeah, so we started out figuring out how do we have common language amongst each other,
mm-hmm.
and once we started seeing the power of that, actually November 23rd, 2014, we got together, and the four of us got together, myself, Lee, Riley and Annette, and said, boy, wouldn't this be powerful to create this inside of our company? Because we saw how well it was working for us.
Mm-hmm.
So as we started talking about that, we started saying, okay, so how do we do that? You know, it's you have a lot of people, and it's how do we get the point across when you're working in a small little group like we were? Okay, we're able to talk things out. But how do you get that out there? So we said, you know, we're going to need a rallying cry around this.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking about things like community retailer came up. We service retail all over the country. And you know, it's about our customer. And what we, in our conversation, we said it's really about, you know, to really service our customer correctly, it's really about our customer's customer. Because we're selling to mostly to retail stores. And
for example, can you just share with the listeners who are some of maybe your top clients? If we can ask that on the air.
So we, you know, our clients are, you know, traditional grocery stores for the most part. I mean, although we're in many different areas of retail, but you know, if I had to focus on one, I would say supermarkets across the country. So whether it's a Publix down in Florida, ShopRite up here in the Northeast, you know, Albertsons, a Safeway, a Weiss Markets, O'Reilly's on the West Coast. We work with other distributors as well in our categories. So those are, so you walk into a retail store, and has everyone ever asked themselves, and you're looking at a non-food section, for example, a cosmetic section in a grocery store or in a supermarket or a drugstore, and mm-hmm. you say, boy, it looks just so pretty. Well, how did it get that way? And there's a lot, and that's in essence what we do. So we're behind the scenes making it look really pretty. And we said that's really about creating a great experience for the ultimate shopper, which is our customer's customer. So we came up with this concept, designers of the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customers. And then you put in front of it, everything we do is about designing the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. And if we can figure out inside of our company how each person is a designer of the ultimate shopping experience. So, you know, when you start asking yourself that question, it's, you know, so if I'm out in the field and we have people who are visiting these stores and they're really setting up these displays and, mm-hmm. and packing out orders and taking orders and having interaction with store management, you know, at store level, okay, sure, they're very involved with the customer's customer. When you get back into a warehouse, one of our distribution centers or one of our offices, and someone's making phone calls and doing customer service or packing orders or picking orders, you know, how can we create that concept in their minds that ultimately they're part of that ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer? And that ultimately became the rallying cry. And as we allow this culture to ensue, now people will start thinking, how am I a designer? So it starts with that rallying cry, then into, you know, our principles, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
Yes, we're going to get
to that. And then
we'll
talk about all the, you know, because, you know, people love to talk about what they do. right here. I'm sitting here talking about it. I've talked so much about what we do.
Right.
Because we're in our comfort zone. We talk about what we do. But if we can have, you know, going back to this famous TED Talk by Simon Sinek, if you talk about, you know, why do we do it? So our why is to design the ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. The result of that is the better job we do at servicing our customer's customer, the result of that is we'll make a bigger profit and have a better business.
Fascinating. Instead of just going with a maybe a bottom line corporate mindset and say, okay, how do we just improve the bottom line? Boom, we go forward. What Mark is communicating here is saying by involving the entire team on, if I could even say, more of an emotional level than just a job, you'll wind up doing more business. Your customers will be happier. They'll place more orders with you.
Absolutely, and that's why we have that what we call the rallying cry. So the L&R way starts with that why, and we talk about the L&R way ultimately becomes the how we do it. That common language. When you look at our principles and we talk about being grateful, being intentional, being learners, being proactive. That's how we do that design of the ultimate shopping experience. Then we can, once we, you know, talk about that, then we could talk about the what's. Because the important thing to understand in today's world, mm-hmm. and I'd love for your listeners to hear this.
Okay.
Because it's like one of my things I love to say, and
we're ready.
I'm sensitive to it, is when you're making a presentation or you're being presented to, and you're talking about yourself, and you're talking about, in our case, we have distribution centers, and we have computer systems, and we have hundreds of people all over the country.
And processes
so
and
we,
everything.
You know, you pull out that deck, and you're talking about, and you're showing pictures of your warehouse, and your trucks, and your computer systems, and your reporting, and all that stuff. And you spend the first 20 minutes of the entire meeting talking about whom? Talking about yourself. Person sitting across you, 2016, here we are. And time is racing. They've been on your LinkedIn page. They've been on your Facebook page, if you have one. They've been on your website. Mm-hmm. They know everything about you. The fact that they're sitting at that same table with you means that they understand and they give you credit. Duh, in our case, duh, we're a distributor. So, of course, you're going to pack orders and you're going to pick orders and you're going to ship them. And so, really, we had this last time we met, we talked about this interested versus interesting.
Yes, and can you explain?
And when we talk about being interesting, so if we can figure out when we're sitting with someone, what should we be interesting about? We want to be interesting about something they're interested in. So we start talking, let's forget about our what's. And we've actually used the L&R way already in sales presentations.
Fascinating.
We just signed a new contract yesterday with a very large retailer.
Wow. We could say mazel tov in the air.
Thank you. And what happened was, and in that presentation, we immediately went to the L&R way. We immediately went to our why.
Even though that's sharing, right, like you said, your why, it's almost to a certain degree an internal process. But it was an eye-opener and to them, and they appreciated it. And you feel it helped land the contract?
I think it was key for us to land the contract. Now, this was a meeting in our corporate offices, and our sales team had met in their offices. So we brought them into our offices, mm-hmm. and I was present. I wasn't present at any of the meetings prior. But my job was to come in and talk about our culture, talk about the L&R way. Mm. And we didn't really talk about our what's at all. We talked about our why, and then we talked about our how. And they were so interested in learning that, and almost it was like a comparison how they do it at their company, and boy, that would be cool if we did that in our company. And that's what it's and it just you know broke the ice.
So if I may, I'm going to ask one question before we take a commercial break. Do you feel that all businesses, large or small, need to have some type of corporate culture? Maybe I could turn to Annette for this.
Yes, I do. There was a girl right after this rollout came. She came to us. She does the boxes in the warehouse. She prepares them. And she started to tell us how she sees these boxes come back to her and after going out. And she knows they're her boxes because the way she packs them. So she took such pride in it. And now she knows that we do. You know, that the customer sees this, that we see this.
So she sees herself as a designer.
A designer.
So in the process.
And she was proud to be able to say that to us, and it was wonderful.
I'm here with Mark Bodner and Annette Lucas in a special edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Best Payroll delivers the affordable payroll solutions you need so that you could focus on your business. Today's payroll laws are complicated and constantly changing. Why should you have to worry about keeping yourself up to date with these details when you can rely on Best Payroll's fully bonded tax service to take care of it for you? Best Payroll has been managing the payroll needs of small to mid-sized companies across the country since 1989. Their experienced and dedicated professionals are committed to providing you with cost-effective payroll management solutions. Why spend your time, money, and effort handling your business's payroll when you could rely on Best Payroll to get the job done right at a price you can't beat? To learn more what Best Payroll can do for your company, dial 347-729-2355. That's 347-729-2355. Or visit bestpayroll.net. That's bestpayroll.net. Best Payroll, the experienced payroll professionals. Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back here on Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. Also, a special shout out and thank you to last week's guest. I just want to remind the listeners the interview we had with Ron Carr, the author of Lead, Sell, or Get Out of the Way, The 7 Traits of Great Sellers. That's available as long as all previous podcasts by going to WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, tonight in studio, we have Mark Bodner, CEO, and Annette Lucas, Executive Vice President of L&R Distributors, and we're talking about their recent rollout of building a corporate culture and the many facets and elements that are part of such an incredible team building culture, which really is something, as we're discussing tonight, that all businesses, whether you're large or small, I mean, L&R has a staff of 1,100 people. That's an incredible staff. But this will apply whether it's a company that has 2 employees, 5 employees, 100, or 10,000. The concept of building a corporate culture, and that is tonight's focus here on Mind Your Business. Next question I'd love to address is, how should a company decide exactly what its vision and corporate culture should be? I mean, I imagine every company has some type of focus. I'm not just talking about their business vantage point, how to get a customer, but how do they decide what the vision should actually be? Now, I'll leave it to whoever wants to tackle this one.
I believe that's in your core. It's okay. You know, if you could break down to what the values are, how other people want to be treated, okay, always looking out, that you could come up really quick with so many. We had, at first, principals were rattling off one after the other.
So fascinating. So it's not that difficult, because the reason why I'm asking the question this way is because I could see a lot of business owners saying, where do I start? And you're saying, if you take a minute out, you take a deep breath, it will just start.
If you start to think of other
almost
people,
like, and then where's that pen? Right. Let me just quickly write them down.
And then to think a lot of the same vocabulary words that we were using would mean the same for others. So then we started to knock that down. Okay. And what was important to us, what was important for us to share. So you have to get to your core first. You have to know what you really envision for the future.
Excellent.
And what everyone else wants.
Okay. And then now I get this brings me to my next question. I know we addressed this earlier in the show, but is this something just for the C-level executives, or is it something that really is that important that it has to be communicated down to, as Annette said before, the person who packs the boxes? Is it really that important?
I think it goes even further.
Okay.
I think it goes to our customers. It goes to our suppliers, our vendors. This needs to needs is a word that's actually stricken from our vocabulary.
We try not to use the word need.
Sorry,
50,000 people just heard that.
But that's okay. So that's what's amazing about this, is that, you know, we rolled this out with that famous quote from the famous UCLA basketball coach.
Okay.
Why is his name? What was the quote?
It
says, we're not who we're going to be, we're not who we want to be, but we're better than we used to be. So I still use words like need. I have words that,
been using for a long time.
I have words that when I use them, $20 comes out of my pocket and goes to someone's favorite charity.
I got 20.
Because, I was famous for saying I can't believe, and that would just lead it down a road of everyone trying to duck. You know, because I can't believe we can make such a mistake. How could it be that dumb?
And what is it now?
And now it's about avid learning. What did we learn? You know, in essence, and so one of our principles is, as part of the L&R way, is avid learners. What did we learn? And how do we figure out what we learned? As we say, okay, we went through this experience, good or bad, and what went right, and how do we do more of that? So here we are thinking about ways to do more right stuff. Mm-hmm. And then we ask a simple question, knowing what we know today, using the learning that we got from this experience, how would we do it differently next time? And that doesn't, it's not like I can't believe you could be so
dumb.
It's okay, that's great, but if we can be avid learners around that experience, then that's fine, and we'll just do better next time.
That's also such a great point, because in the business world, people make mistakes. We're all human. If someone is terribly afraid to admit the mistake, then it's kind of prone to happen again and by others. So what Mark is bringing out here is that turn it into a learning experience. Of course, it's one of the items of this new culture, but you're empowering people to think, maybe, God forbid, make an error. But then, hey, what's the learning experience from it? What's the takeaway? Don't be afraid, because we don't want to just make the same error again.
And also, we don't think, what did we do wrong? What did we do right? And how can we do more of it?
Great point. Now, what are some of the ways that a company can communicate its vision? Meaning, fine, there's this great concept, but then, as you mentioned, there are locations. You have a location in Cucamonga. You have one down in Arkansas. You have other places around the country. How do you roll this out? How do you communicate it and then make it stick?
Well, firstly, you hire a great marketing company.
Thank you.
That's step one. You find great partners to work with. And, I'm remiss because, one of our principles, our first principle on the list, is grateful. And that stands for begin in gratitude. Go big, begin in gratitude. So, bottom line marketing was, I'm going to plug you now. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, something we don't apologize either. We appreciate, but that's another conversation for a different show. But we really appreciate your team working with us so closely, and really getting a good marketing team would be something that I would highly recommend. But how do you do that? That's a great question. And our impulsive response to that is you run around and you try to get everybody involved. And in essence, what happens then is you're shoving it down people's throats and it becomes inauthentic. Authenticity is important. So like I said before, I have words that I've used, and I just used the word need before, and okay, I apologized. There's a part of our culture where we don't apologize unless we did something wrong. I don't say I'm sorry. And if I did something wrong, I say I'm sorry.
Right.
So it has power.
Right.
As opposed, how much more powerful is it to say when you feel like you want to say I'm sorry, is I really appreciate your patience instead of sorry for making you wait. Sometimes things happen. Appreciate versus apologize is a big point. But we can fall into this trap, especially when we get passionate and emotional around something like this,
mm-hmm,
where we just want to run around the country
and just
start, pounding into people's heads. And that's going to become overload. And we have this concept, and we talk about it all the time, Annette and I and other people in our company, is pursue versus ensue. So pursuing this, meaning pushing this down people's throats, is not going to work. So our behavior starts at the top. Our behavior, accepting this culture, knowing this is not who we are today. This is, we're not who we want to be. We're not who we're going to be, but we're a lot better than we used to be.
Right.
Using that thought process and saying, okay, it becomes the behaviors start changing. And what happens is ultimately is the culture starts ensuing. It starts chasing you and people start latching onto it. And I'll give you a great example.
Yes, please.
Just this week, we were talking about this before the show, about this concept of emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So just this week, an email went out from our president, Riley, on emotional intelligence. And he received back, I don't want to over-exaggerate, tens and tens of responses.
Wow.
Maybe it was 100, but maybe it was 50. So I don't want to.
Okay.
But a lot of responses back and say, that's just such an amazing concept. And I, you know, I've read about it and I use it. I'm planning on using that in my own life, in my personal life, in my professional life. That is an example of ensue versus pursue. We put stuff out there. We put ourselves out there. We change the way we behave as senior leadership of a company.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that. And we talk about our principles a lot. And they see it where it's not just words, where it's behavior. And then people will, there'll be early adopters, of course. And then there will be middle adopters. And there'll be very late adopters. And guess what? There are going to be non-adopters as well. And that's okay. But they'll probably in the long run will end up being unhappy. And we want happy people.
Now, you walked right into the I want to say the million-dollar question, but one of the main items of tonight's show, and that is getting to the actual core leadership principles. I'm holding a card here that has 10 principles.
Beautifully designed card.
Thank you. I would actually ask, if you both want to share it, or to actually go through them, kind of like spending maybe just the 30 seconds on each. And just so for the benefit of our listeners, that they understand the one or two word principles in and of itself, and then a very short description of what you're trying to communicate through that principle.
Go ahead, Annette.
You explain it so well.
So we have 10 core leadership principles,
yes.
and if you notice, the word leadership is part of the L&R core leadership principles. So mm-hmm. people think of leaders as being the guys sitting in the big C-suite offices. In our culture is anyone can be a leader. Everyone can be a leader. And actually, we came up with this concept called LEAD, L-E-A-D, which stands for learning, engagement, appreciate, and decide. And if you look at the 10, we go through these 10 principles,
yes.
each one of them is either about learning, engagement, right. appreciation, or how to make decisions. And so leadership or lead is part of our core principles. So if we go through them, starting with the first one we talked about earlier, going big,
yes.
which means beginning gratitude. And what's interesting is when we talk about gratitude, people talk about, I'm so grateful for. I'm grateful for my family.
Right.
My
It should be a big list
and
if
it's,
a person
and,
thinks.
And it's a big list, and it's amazing when people are grateful for. But if I read you the description of this principle, an interesting thing will pop out. So we look at every person, opportunity, and challenge through the eyes of gratitude. And I'm just going to – it goes on.
Right.
But what that first sentence, we look at every person, opportunity, and challenge. There is no my or I in that. So that's not being grateful for. It's really being grateful in. So the best way to explain that is doing something for someone else with no expectation of anything in return. So we talk about how does that apply to a business.
Right.
In our business, for example, there's processes. And when there's a process in a business, multiple people are involved in that process. Imagine if every single person thought, how can I do this process so that when the next person along this process will have an easier time? So if I'm in a warehouse and I'm packing boxes onto a shelf, do I cut the box open so when the order puller comes, it's easier for that person to pull the order more efficiently? That's an example of gratitude, of being grateful, and there's no grateful for. I'm doing something for someone else with no expectation of anything in return.
Fascinating.
Intentional is intentionality.
And this is point.
This is number two.
Number two. Nonetheless.
We do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. So we design the ultimate shopping experience for our customers' customers. We measure every activity and opportunity and decision against our stated objective.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's saying, everyone comes to work every day with the intent
mm-hmm.
of doing a great job. I really believe that to be true.
Okay.
Of course, if someone walks in, we all do things every day. And we walk in, and we start the day, How many of us start the days, you know, I think I really want to mess up today. That's what I want. Right. That's what I want to do.
Right. So hopefully no one. So, we do not someone who wants to get ahead in the business world.
So yeah. We do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reason. And that says everyone walks in every day with the intent of doing the best thing. If they fall, if they make a mistake, we'll talk about as we get into the next principle. Customer centricity, customer centric is number three.
That's number three.
We're passionate in exceeding customer expectations. We take a genuine interest in our customers, delivering outstanding customer service. And I want to just move on to the next one because I want to spend more time on proactive. And this was a major game changer. Proactive, and the way we describe proactive, our three words, is I got that. And I'm going to just, you know, anyone wants to see these, feel free to go to thelrway.com.
Right.
Thelrway.com. LR way, one word, and they're there.
They're all there, yes. That's a great point. Thank you.
Proactive, I got that. And what that's saying, we empower each team member to make decisions without waiting for directives. We take pride in successfully tackling challenges, and we believe in the right to make a mistake and learning from them. So what proactive is saying is we want to change the culture of our company, the core. Annette spoke before about the core. And the core is we've had great success and great fortune to get to where we are today,
right.
But very directive. You know, people at the top, you know, pushing down, do this, do that, and do it this way or do it that way, created the systems and processes and very directive. And what you end up with was a bunch of people being, you know, waiting around being told what to do. So how do we convert that? So we talk about this principle of proactive. I got that. We are encouraging people to stand up and make decisions. Mm. With the right to make a mistake.
Amazing.
Colleague strengthened is the ultimate support system. We embrace each other's ideas.
That's principle number five.
Number five talks about tolerance. We're tolerant for each other. I'm going to keep on going because I want to get to some of the other ones which are very key to me. They're all key, but you know, in the early stages of this rollout of the LNR way, there are some of these principles that we'd like to have to ensue quicker than others, if you would.
Got it.
So next is good communicators. The art of communication is the language of leadership. We speak with direction and ask clarifying questions. So a clarifying question is so important. You know, we talk about someone says something to someone and they get tweaked, okay? And then we go back to intentionality.
Right.
Is this person really trying to? So let's stop for a second. And instead of saying, you know, Annette, I disagree with what you just said. I so disagree with it. So we'll say
everyone digs in their heels.
So now we have. I've given Annette two options: is to put on the boxing gloves and punch back, or to just go hide in the corner and not want to get into an argument. Versus Annette, going back to before and something I'm indebted to Annette for teaching this to me is what did you hear me say? So a good. You know, this is talking communication is saying instead of saying I disagree, say let me ask you a clarifying question. Let me make sure what I think I heard you say is what you actually said. So good communication. We speak with direction. So we speak with
and
a purpose.
There's a discussion.
And if my initial reaction is I disagree, I'm going to ask you a question instead of saying I disagree.
Great point.
You know, so I can make sure that I really understand what you were saying. And then we get into the next principle here is avid learners. We talked about this before, and I connect that very much with that proactive. So you know, we go from grateful to intentional to proactive to avid learners. So now we've gone through those experiences, as we explained before, and we ask, you know, and a great learner begins by asking questions. We always make our learning greater than the experience. How do we do that? We ask, what did we do right, and how can we do more of that? And how would we do it differently? How do we learn from this if we had this? And that doesn't allow us to point fingers at people. Blame is off the table because we're just asking questions now. We're saying, you know, we went through this experience, good or bad, and saying, okay, so we did things right. And knowing what we know today, if we had to do this over again, what would we do differently? And now it's a conversation again. It goes back to that method of communications, asking clarifying questions as opposed to digging heels as So now what's the next principle I'm going to turn over to Annette because it's
we're up to relentless?
Relentless.
Okay, number eight.
Relentless has got great stories behind
it. Okay.
Relentless. Expect, embrace, and reward change. We seek to always innovate, solve, and correct immediately. To do that, we relentlessly challenge the status quo by asking, what can we do faster, better, easier, and cheaper? Well, relentless, when it first started for me, was actually a bad word.
Too aggressive.
Aggressive, especially in this business, you know, always selling and buying and get it out faster and cheap. It was pounding everyone to do that. You had to just know my customer needs it right away. So you have the salesman fighting with the purchasing, or, you know, the truckers. And it was always just beating you
down.
And
what ultimately happened?
When we were doing the principles and relentless came up, you know, I'm kind of cringing. This is what I see.
Okay.
But to pursue and to work, if you work with all these principles and you're embracing this, and now you have team coming together and saying, well, the customer needs it there because they need to open today, not because the salesman is this horrible person that wants to drive everybody crazy, or, you know, it's all about them. It's a team. And at the end, it's about the customer's customer.
Right.
So now it takes the pressure off, because now what we're doing is because it needs to be done, because it's right.
Right. And it's the most important thing for our customer.
Right. And it's not a beatdown.
Right. So therefore, it's not me versus you, and it turns into a whole argument. And beautiful.
So relentless is a really cool. Now, what's interesting, and I think we didn't touch upon it yet. So where did these words come from? Grateful, intentional, customer-centric, relentless, learner?
Well, we know it was sometime during those 18 months.
So how did we come up with these words? So what happened was it was mining the stories and the history of our business. So we each came from different backgrounds, and we came from different places and worked at different companies, and we all have stories. And in this business, I've been in this business 25 years, and that's been in this business more than that.
Okay.
And we have stories. And there was, when these stories came up and we kept on using words like, you know, relentless, I said, that has to be a principle. But how do we convert relentless from being that nasty sounding word? Like, relentless means like in your face.
If I may, I must jump in just with a thought before we get to the last two principles, and then we take a short commercial break. The listeners of Mind Your Business are so, really have to have so much appreciation. You're sharing, you just said on the air, combined over 50 years of experience that wrapped into these principles, and you're sharing it for free with any business out there that wants to scale or wants to really be a better business in terms of how they communicate internally, how they get customers. Really, we have a lot of gratitude to you, and I really just want to publicly say that.
Well, we appreciate that. Thanks.
It's really true. Really true. It's amazing. People, you're getting all this value for free just by tuning in tonight. And by the way, in case you're just tuning in now, you'll be able, by Tuesday morning, you'll be able to hear the entire edition of this show by going to wabcbizradio.com and just click on the picture of Mark or Annette, and you'll be taken directly to the iTunes. But we have two more principles here.
Better get a good picture, though.
I second that one.
So moving along, we have vigorous. Number nine is vigorous. And, you know, this was like a last-minute change. I'll talk about it in a second, but let me just give you the definition. Vigorous is challenge is the road to growth. So very similar to relentless, we relentlessly challenge a status quo. Where vigorous comes in, and I'll read it a little more, and then we'll talk. We continually seek opportunities for L&R's growth. We fight complacency with curiosity and vigorously challenge the status quo. So let me talk about the latter part of that definition of we fight complacency with curiosity. Now, curiosity, and I think we talked about this last time I was on your show, maybe in some different language, but curiosity is something that's so important. We all have jobs to do.
Right.
And everyone in any company has jobs to do, and they start out that day one, and they're going down the road I call the road of proficiency. And they have a task to do, they have a job, could be in accounting, could be anywhere in a business. And they start getting really good at it. Mm-hmm. And when they hit that, I don't know what that is, but they hit a point, and they're just doing that job, and they're really good. They're proficient, and it's so they have a choice to make. Do I allow complacency to set in? Or do I become curious? And what curious means, curious is I look at the process and I get curious about it. So we talk about curiosity and then vigorously challenging the status quo, because I got curious and I'm doing this job and there's this process, but, you know, we have to make photocopies. We have to make 3 photocopies of this document or whatever. And this is saying, you know, is there a better way instead of making photocopies to do this? Could we electronically email it? So but the key is, and why it's part of our principles of what we're telling our people is, we give you permission to be curious. And because we all say that, boy, I wish people would challenge the status quo. But when they actually do it, and this is a tried and true test, and I'm speaking for myself right now on things that I have developed and designed that people have challenged, and it did not feel good to me. It felt like, well, I created that, and now...
And it's such a great point, because when you talk openly about being challenged, so... You know, there could be a discussion about, okay, we agree that it's healthy to be challenged, but then, hey, we're all human. It kind of doesn't sit right. You know, it's a little uncomfortable to be challenged.
Then you want to say, do it because I said so.
Right. And then suddenly everyone's digging in their heels. So
what we're saying here is, what we're saying here is, be curious, L&R, the L&R way, the L&R core leadership principles. One of them, this one called Vigorous, is about curiosity. We are giving you permission to be curious, which means vigorously challenge. And it's okay. And if something that you, and if the CEO needs to be challenged, that's fine. Wow. If there's a process that's in place that just doesn't make sense, please stand up and say something.
Now, by the way, Mark, I happen to know for a fact that there are people in your company that listen to the show. So
give it a shout out to Phil right here.
Yes, Phil, thank you for your great feedback. So we're up to number 10.
So number 10, and number 10 was something that was important to us as well. And it talks about loyal. Loyalty is not a word, it's a lifestyle. We are loyal first and foremost to the company. We know that each of our customers, vendors, and team members are served better when we make decisions that are ultimately in the long term in the best interest of L&R. And so we get to the end here. We get to this last principle.
Right.
And it's saying, this is all good stuff, right? We're ultimate shopping experience for our customer's customer. Right. We're useful, which is that cool little logo and acronym that we created around ultimate shopping experience.
Right.
We're useful. But at the end of the day, we need to be loyal. We must do what's in the best interest of L&R, because if we don't, then we're not serving our customers, we're not servicing our vendors, we're not serving our team members. Company needs to make a profit at the end of the day. So when we talk about, but what we believe so strongly and passionately in is if we are all designers of the ultimate shopping experience, and we do that, how we do that is by following these core leadership principles, allowing everyone to lead, learn, engage, appreciate, or decide, and if we allow that to happen, the result of that will be great loyalty. Loyalty from our customers, loyalty from our vendors, loyalty to our customers, loyalty to our vendors, and most importantly, loyalty to and from our team members.
Great points. That was the completion of all 10 principles. As you heard, in case you want to access it on your own, you could go to the special website that was developed for this, thelrway.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind your business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. We have with us in studio Mark Bodner and Annette Lucas of L&R Distributors, and we're having a really focused conversation about building a corporate culture. In case you're just tuning in, This is really a show that you cannot afford to miss. You can easily access it. In a couple of days, it'll be up on the iTunes channel. All previous podcasts are available for free. The easy way to access it is by going to the website dedicated to this show, which was actually recently updated. So a special shout out to the team here at Bottom Line that updated it with very nice, fresh graphics, etc. WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. Well, as we approach the close in the few remaining minutes, let's talk about the actual rollout. I mean, this was we now spoke about the L&R way, the principles. We touched on the forms of communication. You have teams of people in multiple locations around the country. Let's talk about the rollout of the event and any feedback you got from. Let's talk about the mechanics of that, communicating with over 1,000 people nationwide. I mean, there was a main event that took place in Deer Park, Long Island, or right near that location of Deer Park, Long Island. That's where you have one of your main branches. Actually, it was a hotel in Uniondale. There was a live hookup. Maybe you could just take the listeners, walk us through it, that they understand not just the importance of it, but the mechanics of it, of rolling out such a big event.
You know, it goes back to Pursue and Insue, okay. And I wanted to, you know, just scream and shout, how great is this? And
okay.
Mark would rein me in, and that was good. But I was so excited, and I really thought at the end of it, if one person would really even listen, that would be a big deal. But I'm going to let Mark speak
happened?
On how this rolled out. I'm just so proud.
So what we did was we, you know, this was kind of a couple of weeks before, you know, the logistics of it was, okay, let's do this event. We're going to have this rollout. And we brought all of our people local here. We're a New York City-based company, so we have offices in Brooklyn, New York, and Deer Park, Long Island. And we found a place in the middle in a hotel. And then we decided to live stream it to our other distribution facilities down in Arkansas as well as in California. And audio-visual guys, and we had this live hookup. But then, like last second, wouldn't it be amazing if we had a hookup link that we can share with remote team members, because we have people in about over 40 states. Wow. And it would be just amazing if they get a chance,
right,
with really no expectation. When we got the stats back, so we had 210 people in Uniondale, Long Island,
right,
in the Marriott.
Live,
and we had about 160, 170 people in Arkansas in the distribution center, in the office there as well as the distribution center, and about 100 people in California. And then the interesting stat was we had 568 people click on the link from web browsers. It was so we
That's
had
incredibly high, because this wasn't advertised to the masses. This is an internal communique and letting people know. It's yet over 500 people tuning in.
500 people,
wow,
on the remote
watching
link.
It.
On
the remote link.
Plus the people who are live. So out of the 1,100 people, it's about 1,000 people who watched it live. And we had, you know, we had our bankers, for example, watched
right
it live.
People that you do business with.
Some of our vendors watched it live. So they got you know, our insurance agents were there. It was just interesting how people were just so curious about it, and took on a life of its own. And you know, we had obviously prepared for this and prepared content around it and lots of great marketing material around this. And you know, as Annette pointed out, we didn't know what to expect in terms of, you know, what's the reaction
right
to this going to be,
right?
And overwhelmingly, from an interest standpoint, it was so exceeded our expectation. It was really a great feeling.
That's an amazing point, because I just want to point out, we live in a world where there's a lot of sarcasm, and many times if a company wants to communicate a vision, they're very concerned, like, okay, how are people going to take to this? I remember you discussing this. What are they actually going to think? But when it's done in a genuine way, people take to it. People take to it.
I was so impressed. I can't tell you, you know, the culture of L&R before was, you know, relentless, and to have that change, and to see when people came over to me and said, I see the culture change already. I know now what I've been feeling along the way. now you introduced it to me. Now I can see it. That was the biggest compliment I could have ever gotten. Yeah.
Well, as we approach the close and around the minute that we have left, any final thoughts for Sunette and then Mark? Any final thoughts for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
For me, I'm blessed that I was able to work with a team of people and Mark more than anyone to be able to put this into words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
You know, so all the people out there listening, why should you do this? You know, this one day, you know, I won't be here anymore. But I believe I believe the company will be. And by having a culture in place, the next people in line, it will be there for them. So it's going to perpetuate itself for the future.
Amazing. Well, I can't thank you enough for joining me on this edition of Mind Your Business. This was a really incredibly eye-opening show that, again, could be rolled out, whether it's a small business, large business, sole proprietorship, understanding the importance of your customers' customers, understanding of building a corporate culture. It's all here. In case you just tuned in, it's going to be all available on the podcast by going to wabcbizradio.com. Stay tuned for John Batcher up next, and tune in again next Sunday night for another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.